Join me in prayer, please. Father, as we open up your word this morning, as we continue our study in Romans, I just pray that you would open up our hearts and minds. I pray, Lord, that you'd continue to change us with your sanctifying power, your indwelling of us. And I pray, Lord, that you'd use us in your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Over the last two Sundays, as we've started our study of the book of Romans, we've been on this topic of Paul introducing himself with three designations as he writes the Church of Rome. And he first introduced his master to us in that fact that he said that he was the bondservant of Jesus Christ. Yes, Paul introduces himself as a slave, and his master is Jesus Christ himself. He next mentioned his office, which we studied last week, that he said that he was an apostle, so he had the office of apostle, that he was a delegate, if you will, or a messenger in that office. And today we are on his third designation, and that is his mission. So we've looked at his master, his office, and now we are on his mission. So join me, if you will, in your Bibles in looking at Romans chapter 1 as we continue to study verse 1 of Romans 1, which reads, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. Now, this gospel of God is used over 60 times in the book of Romans. And the gospel of God in the Greek means good news. Now, if you think about it this way, Paul, as an apostle or as a delegate, it's a job task, isn't it? If you're a delegate, you're a delegate for something, to something, and in that he is a delegate. He's been separated as a delegate to do something special, and that is to share the good news of Jesus Christ. He's been separated to share the good news. Now, being separated is not unusual as God deals with people groups and individuals. And I want to point that out scripturally. And my first example is the nation of Israel itself. As we look at Leviticus chapter 20, looking at verse 24, God said this. He said, you shall inherit their land, and I will give it to you to possess, a land flowing with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God who has separated you from the peoples. God working out his ultimate desire and purpose with mankind created the nation of Israel, and he separated them for a specific task. Not only that, but we as believers have been separated from people. 2 Corinthians 6, 16 through 18 says this, in what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. So we as believers have been separated from the rest of the world, just as the nation of Israel was separated from all people groups to be used in God's mission and objectives. We have been separated as a group of people. We have been called out. We're to look different, act different, think different than the rest of the world because God has separated us. God not only deals with people group in separating them, but he also deals with individual people. And we see this in the life of Paul. For the last couple of Sundays, we've read Acts chapter 9 and this conversation that God has had with Ananias, as Ananias is naturally hesitant to embrace Paul, which was Saul then because of his history. And God tells Ananias in Acts 9:15, "Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine, to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel, for I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake." So here in God's conversation with Ananias, we see that Paul was being separated, called out, and given a specific task. And then in Acts 13, we see the execution of that in verse 2, where it reads, "As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, 'Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them.' Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away." God separates people for specific tasks and purposes, and we naturally see that in the life of Paul. And then Paul identifies that with himself as he wrote our focal verse today in Romans 1, that he has been separated for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'd like to point out that this isn't a separation for asceticism. In other words, Paul wasn't called to build a turret in the middle of the desert and become a hermit and to live a life of an ascetic. He wasn't called to a monastery. And unfortunately today we have people that view that is their Christian calling, is that they are called to get away from the world and not engage the world, but that's not what Christianity is about. And as we think about the Great Commission, we are called to engage. We're to go and make disciples. That is a call of engagement. And so Paul didn't separate himself to escape the pains and challenges of this world, because I think we'd all admit that in living a Christian life today, it is that we are all face challenges in living the Christian life. But we're not called to separate ourselves by not engaging. We are to engage with society. And that's what Paul did. He engaged. And he said, "I'm separated to be a delegate for the gospel of Jesus Christ." His belief of being a delegate to talk about the good news of Jesus is clearly seen in 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 1. You'll turn with me. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved. If you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain, for I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that he was seen by James, and then by all the apostles. Then last of all he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time." And so, in that particular passage, Paul is telling us what the good news is. And the good news is that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day. But it wasn't an intellectual faith that Paul was talking about. It was a faith of experience. Because if you look at verse 3, he said, "For I delivered to you, First of all, that which I also received. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received. What is he saying there? He's saying, I first experienced the living Lord and Savior. I had a personal experience with Jesus Christ. And in having that personal experience and encountering Jesus and being transformed, becoming a new person, which we can naturally say by looking at the accounts of Paul that he was definitely a new person after encountering Jesus on the road to Damascus. He said, after encountering Jesus, after I experienced that, I am delivering that to you. It's a faith of experience. It's just not a textbook acknowledgement. So he said, I am an apostle, and as an apostle, he is talking about experience Jesus Christ in telling the lost world the good news. I once had a professor tell me that he could teach anything, even if he didn't know about it, because he used the Socratic method of teaching where just by asking questions and causing the student to think about those questions, that then the student would discover knowledge on his own, even though the teacher didn't really know anything about it. I personally don't think I would want to go to a doctor who was trained that way. And Paul definitely is not talking about just reading about Jesus Christ without any personal firsthand knowledge. My point is that he experienced Jesus Christ and was radically transformed and then became a delegate for that purpose. And that should be us as well as we live out our life with Christ, is that we share our faith in what Jesus Christ has done for us individually. That our faith isn't just acknowledging the existence of Christ, it is the reality of a living Savior. I think that's important. And unfortunately, one of the reasons why witnessing has become diminished within churches is because people are not walking daily in their faith. Because when you walk daily in your faith, you encounter a living Lord and Savior. And as you walk daily and as you encounter that living Lord and Savior, and as you see God working through you, it becomes part of your natural conversation to talk about the power of God in your life. You become a witness because you experience Him. And it's just as if you were introducing a friend. It is woven in your conversation. And that's why he said, "For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I received." He encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus. And he is telling us about it. It is his motivation. And you see it throughout the Pauline epistles. And I recalled several of these as I was preparing my sermon because I thought it fit very well. And the first one, which we'll get to in Romans 1:15, where Paul says, "So as much as it in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel." He's writing the church of Rome, and he said, "I'm not ashamed. I'm an apostle. I'm a delegate for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I've been separated for that purpose, and I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of salvation. That should be us. We shouldn't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And part of that is recognizing that we don't believe in a salvation of a one-time event where we are saved from the fire of hell so we can go to heaven and then the rest of it is up to us. But we believe in a salvation that is daily, that we walk with Him and there's a daily application of our faith. And in that daily application, what happens is that we aren't ashamed of the gospel because we recognize that it sustains us daily, not just for our eternal destination. So not only did I think about that verse, but I also thought about 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 1, where Paul says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or with wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I am determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You can see where Paul, in his entire life, as we think about, these letters weren't written all at once. They were written over a span of decades. And as he writes these letters, his message is consistent. And it's the transformative power of Jesus Christ. And he doesn't shy away from that. In Galatians 6, Paul writes, "But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision or uncircumcision avails anything but a new creation." He said, this is it. It's the power of God. He believed that the preaching of Christ and the acceptance of Christ by a lost world is the only answer for humanity. That's where we're at today. As we live in a world of dysfunctional government, as we live in a world of a societal decay that is well beyond anyone's memory, I think we should recognize that we could strive to make the world, quote unquote, a better place with societal reforms or rules or laws, and that is a waste of time. And the church, my friends, has the only answer. The only answer. The answer isn't political. The answer isn't societal. The answer isn't moral. The only answer that we have and the only answer that works is the preaching of Jesus Christ and the acceptance of a lost world of Jesus for their salvation. That's it. The church has it. No one else has it. No one else has the answer except the church of Jesus Christ. You and I have that answer. You and I have the ability to go across the street, to go to our neighbors, to go to our family and say, this is the answer, Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul is saying here, that he is an apostle and he has been separated for the gospel of God. He's been separated for the good news. You might say, well, yeah, that's Paul. That's not me. Well, it is you, and it is me. Because the Great Commission has universal application. What do I mean by that? It's for everyone. If you're a believer, you have been given the Great Commission. And that Great Commission is to tell the good news. We should be tellers of the good news. And there's a couple of ways of going about that. You and I could go and we could get gospel tracts and you could pass those gospel tracts out, and that's a very acceptable way to spread the good news. And a lot of people do that. Another way is if we just live our life and as we talk about the Lord Jesus Christ in a natural way, and as we mention Jesus Christ to our friends and our family members who don't know Jesus Christ and our work associates, that's another way, and that should happen. And the more that you walk with the Lord, the more that conversation is mixed in with your regular conversation on a day-to-day basis. Because you're walking with the Lord and you're following Him and you're resting in Him and you are telling people of the good news as you see God working in your life. See, we've all been separated. Ephesians 1 says that we've been called out to the praise of His glory and to be to the praise of the glory of God. I am behaving as a child of God. You are behaving as a child of God. You're a delegate. Paul said, I am an apostle separated for the gospel of God. And it's on a daily basis, leaning on the Lord, resting in Him, trusting in Him, having a reliance on God. Salvation's never a one-time event. It's daily resting in Him, daily walking with Him. And I'll give you a great example of that. In Romans 7, which we will also get to, as Paul deals with sin, he says in verse 24, O wretched man that I am! O wretched man that I am! Now think that that's important. That is written in the present tense. Present. There's some people that look at Romans 7 and they want to misinterpret the scripture and saying, oh, this was Paul pre-salvation. No, it's not. It's not pre-salvation. This is Paul who has, for decades at this point, followed Jesus Christ. And he still is in battle, just like you and I are still within battle of self. He, in the present tense, says, O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? And then in verse 25 of Romans 7, he gives the answer. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul knew the answer was Jesus Christ. Paul knew the answer was Jesus Christ when he encountered Him on the road to Damascus. And Paul here, as a veteran missionary, as a follower of Christ, still is recognizing who he is and who Jesus Christ is. We still need Jesus, don't we? How many times have I seen believers make the mistake of where they look at their salvation as a one-time event? Yes, I did this. This is my day of salvation. And yes, first days are important. But salvation's a lifelong process. Yes, we're saved, and if something were to happen after that first day, yes, we can be assured that we're going to heaven. But salvation's walking with the Lord every day. That's why Paul said, O wretched man that I am. That's why Paul also said, I die daily. He said that as well. I die daily. We're to be followers of Christ. We're to follow Christ daily. Now, why is that important? If you recognize as a believer that you need Christ daily, that you're walking with Him, that you're to encounter God on a daily basis, that you're to glorify God on a daily basis. As you do that, as you follow Him, as you recognize that every single day that you need Christ, that every single day you need forgiveness, every single day you need acceptance, that you're leaning on God, you're looking to God for your strength. When you do that, your salvation is alive, isn't it? It's alive. And when your salvation is alive, you are passionate about that salvation. And so therefore, instead of looking at the world and going, well, man, maybe one day if we get the right guy in office, if we get the right guy in office, one day things are going to be good. Or if we could just pass a certain set of laws, then things are going to be good. Or if we could just get society to stop doing these things, and if we could just create a do's and don't list, and if society would just recognize that. No. That's not the answer, is it? And as we live out our life on a daily basis, and as we lean on Jesus Christ, and as we see Christ interact with us, then we recognize that the only answer is Jesus Christ. And we become witnesses for Him. And we can see God at work as we are faithful witnesses for the power of Jesus Christ. Will you join me in prayer, please? Father, we just thank You for Your gift, Jesus Christ. We thank You that in Christ we have life. And I just pray, Lord, that we'd recognize that we should be witnesses, that we have a good news, and that good news has the power to save, to forgive. In that good news, we have acceptance. I pray, Lord, that we would, just as Paul said he was separated, I pray that we'd be separated for You, that we would focus on You. I pray, Lord, that our church would be a witnessing church, that we'd be concerned about men's souls, that we'd be compassionate, that we'd have a burden, that we'd be faithful witnesses for You. In Jesus' name, amen.